TED Audio Collective.
It's TED Talks Daily. I'm Elise Hugh. Drawing is something we all probably used to do as kids. But graphic journalist Wendy McNaughton wants us all to get back to drawing again because of its tremendous power. In her 2021 archive talk from TED Monterey, she reminds us how to pay attention more closely, to look again to see deeper truths. It's after the break.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
Support for TED Talks Daily is from Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You can say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Support for TED Talks Daily comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting time and money with your current business software or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/TED Talks. That's odoo.com/TED Talks. Odoo, modern management made simple.
Like TED Talks? You should check out the TED Radio Hour with NPR. Stay tuned after this talk to hear a sneak peek of this week's episode.
All right, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I'm going to say that every single one of us made drawings when we were little. Yes?
Yes.
Okay. And maybe around the age of like 4 or 5 or something like that, you might have been drawing. And a grown-up came over and looked over your shoulder and said, "What's that?" And you said, "It's a face." And they said, "That's not really what a face looks like. This is what a face looks like." And they proceeded to draw this. Circle, 2 almonds for some eyes, this upside down 7, and then a curved line. But guess what? This doesn't really look that much like a face, okay? It's an icon. It's visual shorthand. And it's how we look at so much of our world today. See, we have so much information coming at us all the time that our brains literally can't process it, and we fill in the world with patterns. Much of what we see is our own expectations. I'm going to show you a little trick to rewire your brain into looking again. Did you all get an envelope that says "Do not open" on it? Grab that envelope. It's time to open it. Inside should be a piece of paper and a pencil. Once you have that all prepped, please turn to somebody next to you, ideally somebody you don't know. Yeah, we're doing this, people. Everybody find a partner? You are going to draw each other. I promise this is not about doing a good drawing, okay? That's not what we're doing here. We're looking. This is about looking. Okay, so you're going to draw each other with 2 very simple rules. Number one, you are never going to lift your pencil up off the paper. So 1 continuous line, never lift your pencil. Number 2, never, ever, ever look down at the paper you're drawing on, okay? Yes, it's about looking. So keep looking at the person you're drawing. Yeah? Okay, now put your pencil down in the middle of the paper. Okay, look up at your partner, look at the inside of one of their eyes. Doesn't matter which one, that's where you're gonna start. Ready? Deep breath. And begin. Now just draw, but notice where you are. You're starting there and you see there's a corner, maybe there's a curve there. Notice there's little lines, the eyelashes. People are wearing masks, some aren't, just work with that. Now just go slow, pay attention, and draw what you see. And don't look down. Just keep going. And I'm just 5 more seconds. And stop. Look down at your beautiful drawings. Right? Show your partner. Show your partner their incredible portrait. Okay. They're wonderful. Why are they wonderful? Because you all just drew a face. You drew what you saw. You didn't draw what you think a face looks like, right? You also just did something that people rarely do. You just made intimate eye-to-eye, face-to-face contact with someone without shying away for almost a minute. Through drawing, you slowed down. You paid attention. You looked closely at someone. And you let them look closely at you. Good job. I've found that drawing like this creates an immediate connection like nothing else. So I call myself an illustrator and a graphic journalist. I draw, I tell stories, I spend time with people looking and listening, and I take the words of the people that I speak with and I put it together with drawings that I do mostly from life, just like you all just did. I found that drawing like this does a lot of things that photography can't do. So when somebody points a camera at you, how do you feel? A little objectified, right? When I'm drawing, I hold my sketchbook low and it keeps an open channel between me and the person I'm drawing. A lot of times somebody will see me drawing and they'll get curious, they'll come over to me and a real authentic conversation begins. Let me give you an example. So a while back, I wanted to do a drawn story about how the public library serves our elders. But after spending a few days kind of lurking around with a sketch pad and looking over older folks' shoulders and asking them what they were reading, I wasn't really getting the story. Until I stumbled upon Leah. Leah is the first, and at the time, was the only full-time social worker dedicated to a library in the nation. Turns out, public library definitely serves our elders. It is also a social service epicenter of a city. Charles works with Leah, and he does outreach within the library to folks who are experiencing homelessness. And he took me around, I carried my sketch pad, and I was drawing everything I saw, and he showed me a very different library than I'd previously seen. So computers that I assumed were for checking out books or, you know, looking at emails were, in fact, a lifeline for folks who are searching for jobs and housing. The sinks in the public restroom, they are a laundromat and showers for folks who are sleeping on the street. A library is a safe, quiet place where anybody can go and find resources and rest for free. See, the moment I stopped looking for the story that I expected to see, an entirely new and richer truth was revealed. I found this to be true with everything and everyone I've ever drawn. Okay, so I draw from life, right? Like you guys did. And so I built myself a mobile studio in the back of a swanky Honda Element. Yes, so that I could go anywhere, talk to anyone at any time, and then draw and paint and sleep in the back. It is very cozy. I was on the road in Utah drawing and talking to people when I spotted on the side of the road a hand-painted wooden sign. It said, "Bootmaker." I stopped. A tall, white, handlebarred mustache man wearing a cowboy shirt opened the door and found me, a sketchbook-carrying, jumpsuit-wearing, urban lefty lesbian smiling like waving like a dork. When I spotted the stuffed cougar on the wall behind him, this vegetarian thought she knew all she needed to know about Don the Bootmaker. But there we were. So I asked him if he'd just show me quickly a little bit about his craft. He agreed, and we ended up spending the whole day together. As I drew Don in his workshop, and he told me about the sudden death of his beloved wife, about his deep, deep grief, and about this hunting trip that he was planning and so looking forward to taking with his son. Every tool in that shop held a story. And he was so, so happy to share it with somebody who was genuinely curious and interested. By the end of the day, Don and I looked very different to one another. So I was getting ready to start on a new drawn story when the pandemic hit. And overnight, I was, like so many people, just unable to do my job. It was my own mother who suggested that I teach drawing to kids. Kids who are about to lose their routines, be stuck at home, and to help give parents a much-needed short break. Now, I'm trained as a social worker, but I'd never taught kids before. But the night before school closures in San Francisco, I went on Instagram and announced that the next day we'd try something called Draw Together. At 10 a.m., I sat behind my drawing table in my home studio, and my wonderful wife pointed an iPhone at me and pressed go live, and what I thought would be 100 kids ended up being 12,000, all eager to draw a dog. The next day, 14,000 kids came, and we drew a tree and that drawing exercise that you all just did. What was supposed to be 5 minutes for 5 days ended up being 30 minutes a day, 5 days a week, 4 months. And yeah, we talked about line and shape, and we learned about perspective and light and shadow. But what was really going on was we were actively looking our way through a global catastrophe together. See, drawing slows us down. It keeps our hands moving so we can pay attention to things that we usually overlook or that we ignore. Studies show that drawing is one of the most effective ways for kids to process their emotions, and that includes trauma. It helps us talk about hard things. We say something in Draw Together, it sounds hokey, but it is true. Drawing is looking, and looking is loving. If we can give kids the right supportive environment, drawing helps them let go of perfectionism and fear of failure so that they, unlike you and me, and especially those of us who might have freaked out just a wee bit when I said earlier we were going to draw, right? We can let go of these harder self-judgments so we don't have to undo them later in life. Okay, I don't expect you all to become drawers, but I do know that all of us, kids, grown-ups, everyone in this room, we can all be better at looking. And if you slow down, I promise, pay attention and really look, you will fall back in love with the world and everyone in it. And after the past few years we've had, I think we all desperately need a chance to look closely at one another and at ourselves and tell the real truth about what we see. Thank you.
20 years ago, Jimmy Wales founded Wikipedia as a place for everyone to share information, but he wasn't exactly sure how to run the site.
How do you put together a system that will generate a reasonable degree of quality and, you know, be open?
Ideas about building communities, online and off. That's next time on the TED Radio Hour from NPR. Subscribe or listen to the TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.